Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Thursday, May 15th, 2014. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo.
We're back on our usual day again after like a long time where we were like doing...
Bouncing around.
Well, usually we would bump it from Thursday UTC all the way to Friday UTC because, you know...
Well, I spent 2 weeks in the wrong time zone, right?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So that didn't help. Now I'm in the right time zone. I'm still not home, but you know, it was just because since I'm in the right time zone, it kind of worked easier.
Yeah, and like there were a couple weeks where I had stuff going on, and it's been like forever since we recorded this at the quote-unquote normal time.
Correct.
And of course, before that, we were moving the normal time around a little bit. But anyway, we're back in place, and this is a really slow week.
We just got in right. Well, I actually Sam had done a list. I was actually at a business dinner, and I actually had to. They hadn't paid the check yet, but I got up and just said, "Guys, I'm tired. I'm going, whatever." Which I was. It was quite warm in the restaurant. I got to be honest with you too. So I just came in and walked into the room and just sat down for a couple of minutes and tried to look at topics. And everything is just crap. I mean, I was just like, you know, the worst thing is that I thought about three things, didn't write them down. I told Sam, what list do you have? And he had a few of the ones that I basically had, like, literally discarded. But I don't know. But I don't know.
So let's do a few minor little updates first and then see where we go from there. I just wanted to mention, you know, an update from last week where I mentioned, you know, the thing I got from by mistake. Now that it has been actually given out, I can reveal what it was.
I
got my wife a new Kindle Fire because her old Kindle Fire died.
Fire.
But I accidentally got the Kindle HD instead of the Kindle HDX. So I'd essentially bought last year's version of the thing. So it was like I said, it's like getting a 5S.
Well, what happens when you make names that are so fucking similar. I mean, HD, HDX, HDS. I mean, honestly, the HDX sounds like better to me than the HD.
The HDX is the better one.
Oh, so you got the HD instead of the HDX.
Yes, I got the HD instead of the HDX by mistake. And, like, I knew which one was better. I knew that...
But the names are too damn similar. I mean, who the hell?
Yeah, you know? So I gave it to her. She likes it. She's been using it nonstop since I got it. She had, you know, been, like, attached it to hip with her own Fire, and it died, like, in February or something, and she's been sad ever since.
How long has she, did it last? The Fire.
A couple years.
Okay.
It was a first generation Fire from when they first came out.
Mm.
So you know, it basically stopped being able to charge.
Which is kind of a
difficulty.
That would be quite difficult. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but meanwhile, right behind me here in my office, I have boxes with the HD and a case for the HD.
Right.
That I now have to remember to return.
You know, can't you just take them to the office?
No, I can't. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
I you know, I'm sure that somebody over there could figure out how to fucking return them.
Yeah, maybe. It's really easy to return stuff. You just, you know, you go into the website, you hit a button, you print out a label,
you stick it on it, and you send it back.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's just like, it's me. So
yeah, I have to remember
to actually do this and do it within a reasonable time frame. Like, they probably wouldn't appreciate it if I tried to return it 5 years from now.
Mm.
You know, and since I did this, and the special deal, by the way, that I only got on the original that was not reusable because you could only use it once, was to split the payment for the device over 5 months, no interest. Mm. So it was like just 5 equal payments, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'll do that. And so I did that. So I actually only paid 1/5 of the price for the first one. But then when I had to buy the second one, I had to pay full price right up front.
you know, could you frickin' return it. Just print out the label. Do it.
Yeah. I'll do it.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, and I'll do it.
It's like that goddamn frickin' beeping in the background.
I was gonna bring up the beeping. That's awesome. But you know what I did do last weekend and this week? I mentioned
you took the plastic off the ladder.
No, I haven't done that yet.
Shit.
But I did.
But you did.
What? I did fill up. There's a thing here, and I don't know if they have the equivalent in your area. Probably do. Where, like, if you have a whole bunch of trash, right, or junk you want to get rid of that's more or bigger than is going to fit in your trash bin, you can go to, like, the local Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever and buy this. Basically, it's a huge bag made out of, like, this tough material. So it comes in a little packet that you can carry easily. But then it folds out into, like, a size that's, like, a quarter the size of, like, a full-fledged trash dumpster, right?
Okay.
And so I filled up two of them worth of crap from my garage.
Okay, and where did this crap go?
Well, see, once you get them full, you just have to go to the website and schedule a pickup, and your regular garbage truck comes and picks it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but we do have a bulk pickup. Like,
yeah, they're still in my driveway. I haven't scheduled the pickup yet, but I'll probably schedule it for sometime next week. This weekend, I might shove a few more last things in it, but they're pretty full. And I estimate. In order to clear out all the stuff in my garage that has already been identified as we're ready to get rid of this shit, I need like another four or five of those bins.
Four or five? Jesus.
I mean, it's primarily full of things like old furniture. It's not even like, you know, as Yvonne well knows, I've got garages full of boxes of old papers and crap and things and, you know, printouts of every email I sent during college, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But but no, that's not the bulk of what is taking up space right now. The bulk of what's taking up space is old furniture that's no longer in use and for the most part is no longer good enough to even like donate somewhere. So it just needs to go.
You know, this whole thing with furniture, as you mentioned, I mean, I was reading something about how this is basically a freaking epidemic, you know, and there's just not enough. You know, I've heard, for example, that we keep donating clothes, right? Okay. Yep. And we donate so many used clothes. There's just not there's just not enough people to give them away.
Well, that's true, but also one of the things that happens with used clothes is they end up in the third world and get reused there, but there's been criticism over that because
it's killing local textile industry because exactly. We're donating so much shit.
We're donating so much shit that there used to be thriving local clothing industries that have just folded because everybody's sending their stuff that comes across free or incredibly cheap. And I mean, you know, now there's something to be said for recycling and continuing to use something as long as it's usable. But at the same time, we've got a huge glut at this point.
Well, I think the problem is that we buy too much shit and we get rid of it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the reality is that we get rid of it before it's even used up.
That is very true. I mean, like, you know, even some of the stuff that I'm tossing right now, was it still usable? Yeah. It was kind of crappy old furniture, but it was, you know, it was still usable. We could have used it if we wanted to.
Right.
But we got newer, better stuff a while ago. And it's usable, but it's like on the edge, you know, it's like, it's all beat up. It's like, and yes, I'm sure there are people out there who could use it. And actually our first plan was to find like some place to donate these things to. But it ended up being like you had to find there were a few places to take it, but you had to bring the stuff to them. And like, or what?
We're gonna rent it. I mean, there were places
There were places that would pick up, but only certain types of stuff, only certain restrictions.
Yeah, that's true.
You had to put it out in a specific way, and you had to separate it from the other stuff. And we're like, you know, we just have this pile of shit that needs to go away. You know, and you know, my wife spent some time trying to research and find like somebody who'd come and, you know, sort of actually determine, okay, which of these things are donatable take them. Which of these things are trash? Okay, take them to whatever the right disposal was. And, you know, she just didn't find anything that was a good, easy, cost-effective alternative. So we're just like, ah, fuck it. We'll just toss it all.
How about a fire? Big fire. No?
No. I think that would cause issues. So anyway, since we don't have too many real topics, let's take a break. And I'll come back after this with a few other thoughts about a few other things. Back after this. Hey, you, listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam, that's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Or tweet at us. I'm at abulsme, and Yvonne is at imbo. That's I-M-B-O-U. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that. Okay, so I did want to give one little update, because I've been... I forget exactly when, I mentioned that I hadn't really done very much with my election 2016 stuff, other than in like a month and a half. And so after saying that, of course, I sort of sped up on it. I got caught up on polls. I've made some additional things to do calculations of trends. Right now, those calculations are all just going into a data file. I don't have them producing nice graphs or anything yet. But I also, this morning was very excited, or not this morning, this afternoon, like I was doing something else and all of a sudden a bunch of pieces came together in my head about how I'm going to do a bunch of stuff in this project. So I was very excited because it's still all just in my head, but suddenly I had clarity in terms of, okay, here's how I'm going to do this and here's how I'm going to do that. So I set up, I have the automatic updates going, so the long-term trends are automatically updating themselves in a semi-smart way now. It's still inefficient, but it's smarter than it used to be. And I've got some stuff set up to send me little updates when things change, and I'm probably going to make that so that it can automatically post some of those things to Twitter. So I'm excited. I'm excited because the pieces are coming together. And, you know, because look, we keep saying it's a long time till 2016. It's a long time till 2016.
But it's not that far away.
Exactly.
It's coming around the corner.
It's getting closer. It's getting closer fast. And really, you know, they're every single day. You see articles about it already, of course, and people like complain that it's too early. But really, I've said this before, it's not too early because the quote unquote invisible primary with the money people is going on right now. But, you know, like right now I'm looking at top stories on Google News and number three is about 2016. So it's not really that early. And, you know, the unofficial kickoff is traditionally like, you know, the day after the midterm elections. And we're only a few months away from those now. So I'm thinking it's time for me to pick up the pace because, like, there's a bunch of stuff I want to have in place and working and blah, blah, blah. You know, I've only got a few months, like, you know, I'd said to myself, the real deadline to start this is, you know, the beginning of January 2016, because that's when I started it the last couple cycles. But now I'm thinking, I want to have, like, the full thing in place and ready to go, like, this November, if I can. If it slips by a couple months, I won't be too horribly upset, but I want to have things basically ready to go in November, I think, which means it's time to pick up the pace. I got a lot more stuff to do. I want to do trend graphs. I want to do a map. I want to do things that send out updates. I want to do some other stuff. But I have a good picture in my head of where I want to go. I have a little to-do list that I'm slowly working my way through, but you know, it's basically been you know, every once in a while in a night or weekend, I'll get a few hours to work on it. And I estimate, like, to get it all to where I want to go, if I was working full time at it, like I didn't actually have my actual real job and I was just doing this full time, it's probably only like, you know, 2 weeks of work, 2 or 3 weeks of work to get it to where I want it to be. The thing is spacing it out over nights and weekends. So
right. You know, don't you, I mean, it would be good if you could do this full time. Couldn't you get a way to get paid $200,000 a year for doing this? We can't figure it out.
If anybody out there is willing to pay me, you know, it doesn't even have to be $200,000. You know,
a buck 50.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go for that. You know, look, if anybody out there is willing to pay me, you know, a six-figure salary, let's say, to stay at home and do whatever the fuck I want, you got me.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, there you have it, guys. If anybody wants to just get pay Sam money to stay at home and do whatever the fuck he wants, he's willing to accept the offer.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you might even be able to talk me down because, like, you know, to a fairly small number. Because, like, if I got a good deal there, I'd tell my wife, go to fuck to work. You can pay the bills. I'm standing home taking this check.
There you go.
You know, maybe not quite. But, you know, look, hey, I am always available for free money.
Yes.
As long as there's, you know, no questions asked, you're not going to ask me for deliverables or any accountability. You're just like going to give me money, no questions asked. Hey, I am cool.
Okay. Well, all right. So there we have it. Sam yes. will accept a lot of money to do nothing.
No, I will do something. It's just you will have no say in what I do.
All right. Exactly. Just to do whatever the hell he wants.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. There you go. Anyway, so the actual things we had on our list, I mean, and there were a few things here, and a couple of them I think are actually somewhat interesting. We have the update in Nigeria. It's basically there's been some escalation. U.S. has had manned surveillance flights, unmanned surveillance flights. We're helping out in various ways. We've supposedly narrowed the search area somewhat, but nothing's actually happened as of the time we're recording this yet. And again, we don't know what is going to be possible or what isn't. Also, I gather the Nigerian government is coming under quite a bit of criticism for how they've been handling this. And so we'll see what happens there. But again, it's a continuing story. I don't know. Jill Abramson, the editor of the New York Times, was fired. And apparently there's some conflicting reports. Maybe it was because she complained that she was getting less money than the man who preceded her at the same job. But then the Times denied that. And so who the hell knows what's really going on there? The official word from the New York Times was only there was a management issue. Which
I mean, actually, they were a little bit more specific. It said here, and I'm reading the New York Times itself. It says here that Ms. Abramson had been in the job only since September 2011, but people in the company briefed on the situation described serious tensions in her relationship with Mr. Sulzberger, which is the chairman of the New York Times, many of them over his concerns about her management. Her style had been described as mercurial and brusque. They had disagreements even before she was appointed executive editor, and she also had classes with Mr. Baquet, who apparently is replacing her.
Yeah, I mean, they mentioned that as well. So, you know, that she was too pushy and such.
In recent weeks, people briefed on the situation said Mr. Baquet had become angered over a decision by Ms. Abramson to hire an editor from The Guardian, Janine Gibson, and install her alongside Mr. Baquet in a co-managing editor position without consulting him. It escalated the conflict between them and it rose to the attention of Mr. Sulzberger, I never pronounced that right either, who was already concerned about her style of newsroom management. I could see how that could be.
Well, there you go. In any case, I don't know that I have anything to say here. It's a developing story, and who cares?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's, you know, okay, fine, it's the New York Times, but, you know, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah.
We have the net neutrality stuff continuing. Apparently, like, there's been so much backlash that what's his name, the commissioner, is apparently thinking about backing off a little bit, but it's still unclear. I think they were supposed, you know, as we record this, they're supposed to release this, the proposal later today. There's been some talk of delaying it, so it's unclear what'll happen, but at that point, you know, we'll know what's actually in it. Alex just joined me. Hello, Alex. Do you want to say anything briefly?
Wow.
Okay. Well,
that's great.
Yeah. That's exciting.
What are you, a dog now? What is that?
He likes to pretend to be a dog.
Wow.
But you're really, what you're doing is more like meowing.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like a weird...
Meow.
Okay. Both good. Great. Beautiful. Perfect.
I'm guessing, did your movie end? Is that what happened here? What were you watching?
Cars 2 still.
Okay, well, let's get you back downstairs. Hey, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about The Right to be Forgotten and Apple Beats. Back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
There's Mr. Bo. Okay, so... net neutrality, blah, 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 blah. We finished that up. Right to be forgotten. Have you been following this at all?
I did read that there was this ruling in Europe, okay, about allowing people to demand that links in Google be deleted.
Google and elsewhere.
Or elsewhere, right.
Basically, the whole idea is if you find information about you online... I'm not clear on exactly the limitations of this, but basically that is old, that's outdated, or maybe just that you don't like it. I'm not sure. You can ask whoever's hosting it to take it down.
That's just weird.
And, you know, there has to be some limitation on this because you can't imagine it's like, you know, hey, I did something bad and it's in the news. Please demand all the newspapers to remove anything about it.
Yeah.
So I think, it's probably have some limitations on it. Although I did notice that at least some of the cases were related to people who were convicted of a crime, served their time and were out, having the right to remove references to their original crime. And I may be conflating a slightly different issue, but there were other examples of just, references to somebody having some debt issues, but they subsequently cleaned up all those debt issues and they were okay now, but the references to what had happened were still online and they wanted to remove them. And this specifically, the case that was just available was relating to... Google removing links, like you said, but I think the principle is more general, and there's a whole movement in Europe for this quote-unquote right to be forgotten, which basically is that if there is information about you online that you are supposed to have some level of control over it yourself because it's private information. And I think, you know, to make the distinction of news events, like I was saying before, there's a certain line at which your life becomes public if you're a public figure. But if you're a private figure and say, and like some examples of where this could lead, for instance, are you're at a party. Somebody else at the party takes pictures of everybody in the party, and you're in the background looking like a drunk goofball, and they put that picture online, and you don't like that picture. So this kind of thing, and I'm not saying this specific legal ruling because I haven't followed it enough, but this idea, this concept, would say that because you were in that picture, you should have the right to have it taken down from the web wherever it may appear.
I kind of understand that. It's just, I don't know. This to me opens a big can of worms. That's what I think.
I think this is an absolutely horrid idea. Now, on the one hand,
I know. It's open a big can of worms. I mean, you mentioned the fights about, you know, what's fair and what's not fair. Why should leave it there, not leave it there? Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and on one hand, I feel a little bit conflicted about this, because if it's a company that I have a business relationship with, I think actually the rules, the quote unquote rules, or at least and maybe not governmental rules, but I think the current relationships that exist with companies in terms of what they can do with your data are way too lax. We give up way too much information to companies. We let them resell it. We let them do this. We let them do that. And I think people aren't, as cognizant of their privacy in that sense as they should be. On the other hand, as somebody who has had a website for 15 years, I don't want anything even remotely like, if I take a picture and put it up, that's my freaking picture, and it should be my choice to put it up. And I don't care if you don't think it's a flattering picture of you, for instance. If it's my picture, fuck you. I mean, it would be a nice thing to do if, like, you're a friend of mine and you're like, please, please, I really hate that picture. Can you take it down? Okay, maybe. I'd be being a dick by not putting it up. But it should be my right to be a dick. And I don't want to have the idea that, just because somebody doesn't like what I've put on my website or what I've put on Facebook or what I've put on Twitter, that they could go and go through and basically sue me to take it down. And have the law behind them and force me to actually take things down. I think that's very, very dangerous. I think that's very, very chilling. And it's kind of disturbing to me that Europe's going that direction. I mean, I understand, the desire that, hey, at some point in time, I may have put something really stupid and embarrassing on the net. And I have, by the way, and I understand the desire to be able to say, please remove that from the internet. I wouldn't really like people to find it when they Google me. But I don't think that, and if Google decides to provide a service to enable those kinds of requests, okay. That's Google's business. But I start feeling really, really queasy when it's like, the government of the EU can say, pull that down. I don't know. What do you think, Yvonne? Yvonne? Are you even there? Hello? I'm going to hang up because I can't hear Yvonne.
No.
Oh, there you are. You're back. What the hell happened?
Oh, I got distracted over here. I'm sorry about that. I got something over here that just distracted my attention. I apologize. I'm back here. Anyway.
Okay. So what do you think about this whole right to be forgotten stuff?
Well, I think that, like I said before, I mean, the one thing about it is it's just I can see how it could just turn into some way to abuse the right to publish some information or like to stop other people from doing it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you wind up into getting some crazy fights, I think. And I just see how it could just be misused in one hell of a way.
Yeah, because I could easily see it start out as, hey, I had this defamatory information about me published, and then I proved that it was false. Please remove the original. And okay, that seems relatively innocuous, although to me it's still like, that whole history is important. It happened. We shouldn't be able to erase the past, but I can see it moving from that to, I just don't like this picture.
Exactly.
And from that, it can move to, you know, you posted this story, this truthful story about something I did, and I don't like that. Take it down.
Right.
And then there's a very fuzzy line, and I understand the distinction people are potentially trying to make between public figures and private individuals, but that's a really a fuzzy line. I mean, okay, like maybe if you can make an argument that, you know, a person who's never been in the public eye, has never been in the news, leads their own quiet life, and they do something embarrassing at a party one day. Okay, maybe that's a private thing that shouldn't go out to the whole world. But okay, what if it's you know, somebody who's you know, like the leader of their condo board, like you are, and somebody's making an argument about how fit you are for that? Does that make news? That's still a very small world, but it's more. What if it's
it is happening, actually, as a matter of fact.
I know you've told stories about this before.
Yeah.
What if you're a mayor of a small town? What if you're not? What if you're not the mayor, but you are? What if you're a store owner, and people are complaining online about your service, and what it's like to be at your store? Does this give people right to remove bad reviews from Yelp?
It may well.
You know, and
I mean, that's why this thing is just too big a slippery slope. I mean, that's the problem. I think that the intention may be good, but I think that the way that I think the end result is just bad. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I just see nowhere good this can go. It is at its very core something that the idea is the restriction of free speech. And I know that it's not, quote unquote, a First Amendment issue like in the U.S. because it's not. Well, it is kind of government getting involved. But Europe obviously doesn't have a First Amendment. But I divorce these things from the constitutional amendments that embody them in the U.S. To me, it's a fundamental right to be able to say whatever the fuck you want. And if somebody doesn't like it, they have the right to say something else. They have the right to say that what you said was unfair. They have the right to compete with you in the public eye, but they should not have the right to shut you up.
Right. Agreed.
And I think that's sort of a fundamental thing that I wish more of the world believed. And this is not to say that, you know, as some of the people have said in regards to you know, the guy at Mozilla and then the guy with the Clippers, you know, you have the right to say something does not insulate you from people having bad reactions to what you say and for there being consequences. Like, you know, if that can happen. Although even there, I think like there's a proper line, like, you know, if my particular job does not involve being the public face of a company, for instance, should a company be able to fire me for something I said in private or on my own personal blog if it didn't have anything to do with what the company was doing? Right. Yes.
Okay,
and Amy is coming to take Alex now.
Hey, buddy, why don't we go finish watching?
Time to go. I'll be done in another, like, 20 minutes or something.
Or maybe we won't get that far at the rate we're going.
Oh, we got one more thing to talk. Okay, Alex, you gotta go with Amy.
Come on, buddy.
Bye-bye. I'll be with you in a little bit.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, and with them gone. Anyway, I think there's some limits there, like, about what the, you know, okay, what consequences can your speech have? But it's perfectly fine for speech to have consequences, and people should expect that. But it's not okay to just say you can't say that. Period.
Right.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's come back and we'll talk about Apple Beats for a section.
Apple Beats.
Apple Beats. Apple and Beats.
Beats.
Beats. I Beats. Beats.
Is it, are those red things? beets.
Yes, yes. Yes, you eat them. Well, yeah. You might eat them. I'm not particularly fond of them.
I've eaten them, I guess. They're all right. They can really stain your clothes, though.
Can they now?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back after this. Okay, we're back. So last week we declined to talk about this because the rumor had just sort of hit. But the rumor is moving fast and furious that Apple is in talks to buy Beats. They make headphones. They have an online music service. They are headed by Dr. Dre and some other guy. And the rumored price is in the neighborhood of $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
What do you think?
These things do sell very well. They also have a couple of other things aside from the headphones. They have a streaming service that apparently has got some interesting pricing and contracts with certain music providers,
and an interesting way of doing things. It's concentrates around humanly curated music rather than automated algorithms like most of the other services.
Yes, so that's one thing. The other part that they do, which is interesting, is that they're also doing substantial work with automotive integration now, which Apple has been trying to, you know, just launched CarPlay, mm-hmm. and so they also have that piece.
The other thing I saw speculation on is they've got at least one, maybe more, people who are specifically known for designing things that essentially operate as fashion accessories.
Correct.
As yep. opposed to, like, Apple is very well known for their industrial design of computing objects, but we keep hearing the rumors that they're moving into, quote-unquote, wearables. That would require to be successful, need to not just be functional, but need to be able to be something that you put on essentially as a fashion statement. They have to look good too.
Yeah, and so I mean, look, they have pretty substantial revenue, a couple of billion bucks. They have pretty substantial profit too, pretty profitable.
Because apparently if you talk to people who actually look at the actual sort of measurable audio quality of these things. These headphones are pretty crap. And apparently, like, they're, you know, probably the parts that go into them are like $20 or something, and they sell them for $300. So that's a nice margin there.
Yes, it is. So they're pretty profitable. I mean, the one thing about this purchase versus, you know, I've been critical of other purchases that I've been seeing out there.
Yeah, I've been wondering about billion, this because you make fun of all these other multi-billion dollar purposes. Is Apple exempt from your withering criticism?
No, well, in this case, here's the thing. This company, I think, I'm estimating makes about $400 or $500 million in profit, I think, maybe, okay, around that. They're paying about 5 to 6 times the profits.
As opposed to some of these others that we've been talking about that don't even make money at all.
Exactly. They don't make any money at all, and you're paying $10 or $20 billion for something that doesn't generate any revenue. So in the scheme of, like, actually paying money and getting value, I mean, if they're going to pay $3 billion and they're going to get something that probably – look, even I think even on the conservative, maybe they make $200 million a year. So you're basically paying 10, 15 times earnings. That's a pretty reasonable number. So you're not overpaying for it, number one. At least it doesn't seem like it. And, you know, there, it depends on how it just fits in the strategy. If what you're going to do is you're filling some gaps, especially we're talking about iTunes Radio and how to get that. And basically you're getting music industry talent in order to be able to curate music. So therefore people are more likely to listen to your streaming service. And there's a value added to that by acquiring the talent. I mean, there could be some pretty arguments. The one thing that I don't have a problem with is in terms of the price. It's not overvalued. It's not a crazy number. So yeah, I mean, I don't see them. They're not doing a crazy overpay for this. And you know, Apple buys companies all the time. We don't even hear them. The only reason we heard about this one is because yeah, it's relatively big. But in the scheme of things, also, you know, Apple has $160 billion in the bank. You know, write a check for $3 billion. I mean,
they'll make that up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. If the other day I went to the Apple store and I noticed, you know, you're getting a new push in retailing. You just hired a new retailing head, and Apple obviously is big in the retailing space. And some of the biggest accessories that I saw there, I remember when I walked in there, it was just a substantial amount of their accessories from Beats. And I guess if you're doing you're trying to upgrade your stores, you're trying to do value, hell, I mean, you know, why giving up that much margin? Might as well keep it if you're selling them. You know, I guarantee that a huge part of the volume of the headphones that Beats sell through Apple stores at this point. I think a lot of people overreact and saying, oh my God, it's both crazy. They have no idea.
Steve Jobs would never do this.
Well, I'm sure that maybe Steve Jobs would never do this, but let's face it, Steve Jobs is dead. I mean, you know, it's a different company. It's a whole bunch of different people running it. I mean, from a financial standpoint, it's not crazy. I'm not sure what the strategy is, but I can see a number of strategic angles where it would fit. But it fits in a way of like you doing a business model and making money in what you're doing successfully right now. It's not then a purchase like spending billions of dollars on like flying robots or freaking, you know, 3D glasses or shit, or I don't know, who knows. From a business standpoint, it's not a crazy thing. You know, I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, you know, the guys that are beating the want to probably kill themselves right now are the people from HTC.
Now, I'll tell you one other thing before you go there. The other, like, would be different under Steve Jobs thing. This sucker, this talk of this leaked, and there was potentially even, like, there was a tweet that was posted and then deleted showing a clip of Dr. Dre talking to somebody that seemed like it confirmed that this was possible. And Steve Jobs has been known to, in the past, when a deal like leaked before it was supposed to, just say, well, fuck it, then it's not happening.
And you know what? Here's the thing. The deal hasn't been confirmed.
No, may it hasn't. Well be. It could still fall through.
Exactly right. Who the hell knows?
But yeah, like Jobs would be like, I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
You talked about this in public. Fuck you. It's never happening ever again because you screwed me.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Usually when you hear deal rumors like this,
it's because they're on the rocks.
No. It's because the deal is about to be announced the next day.
Right.
Exactly. And now the rumor came out, and all of a sudden, I don't know how many days have elapsed. It's been over a week.
Yep.
And nothing has been announced. So I'm wondering now whether it's dead.
Yep. If you were Dr. Dre, you'd be like very unhappy if this fell through after this.
I fucking hit my balls with a hammer after that losing that kind of cash. Tell you what.
Well, it's like that story a couple months ago. I don't know if you saw this. It was being passed around, and I'm not going to remember any of the details. But it was some guy who'd been in some sort of lawsuit with somebody. And he'd come out on top of the lawsuit and won $80,000. But there was a confidentiality.
Yeah, the one on Facebook, right.
And his daughter posted something on Facebook.
Yes.
And he lost the $80,000.
I know. I would have fucking killed her. I swear to God. I mean, she would have been grounded for the rest of her life. I don't know. I mean, for $80,000, I go into the freaking room. We're going to strip everything out of the room. She's going to sleep on the floor.
Anyway, but yeah, it's that kind of thing where it's like, you know, you talked about it. Too bad. You're done. We'll see. The Cook is not Jobs. And even if he's pissed, he might not react in the same way.
Correct.
But, you know.
Hey, he might have learned a couple of lessons from the old from the big guy. So what the hell anyway? He may be thinking exactly what you're saying. Say, you know what? You say, shit, if Steve were alive, he wouldn't fucking close on this. Fuck him.
Yeah, or he could go back and say, well, you know, that's $1 billion off the price tag.
Check, yes. Well, you know,
we were going to do this in a stealth way and announce it with a big bang and talk about,
you know, and now he just completely destroyed the momentum of it. So, you know. Yeah.
Indeed.
You know, as they could go, he could go and do his, the other day, somebody over here at these meetings I've been, somebody mentioned that, somebody went to a meeting with a customer and, was trying to say an analogy, but it didn't come out right. So the way that the analogy came out, he said, we're going to go grab the balls by the horns. And the customer was like, what?
Yeah.
I remember that the customer like kind of like stayed phased, and then they went outside and they went and talked to the account manager. I said, goes to the account manager. Did that guy said we're gonna grab the balls by the horns?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that well. Doesn't work that well, that phrase.
No. I can't say that it does.
Anyway, so yeah, if you're going to go tell somebody you're going to go take charge, tell them you're going to go grab the balls by the horns. It's not really the right way of saying it.
Yeah, no. So, any last minute thoughts on any other topics, or do we wrap up the quickest show we've had in quite a while?
I'm trying to look. Is there anything else that's happened?
There's a Turkish mining disaster. My Backblaze backups aren't keeping up because I'm apparently changing more stuff than I can shove up my pipe. Okay, that didn't come out right either.
Well, you know, I got to take you to a business meeting. There you go. There you go.
Google Glass is now on sale for anybody who wants it. No more special invitations, no more blah. If you want it, you can go pay $1,800 and get one.
Jesus, $1,800?
I think it was 18. Was it 18?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go look it up right now. Let's see. Google Glass for sale.
$1,500.
Well, I mean, I see $1,500? Yeah, $1,500. Yep.
So I'm sure you're picking one up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For $1,500, what a bargain.
You know, I got to think that at this point, they're just clearing inventory.
I guess. I mean,
because like they made some batch of these. Undoubtedly, they're going to be working on sort of, assuming they're not killing the project, they'll be working on the next generation of wearables that will take what they've learned from this experiment and do something else with it. The overall agreement on this forever, since practically the day it launched, that you and I have said as well, is that like this is an interesting view of the potential of this kind of technology, but it's nowhere close to ready for prime time.
But the thing is, number one, it's too expensive. Let's be clear about this. $1,500. It's just a tad too expensive, especially for what the hell it does. But like I've said, I do think that there's a lot of uses for the technology. I think that there is. But, you know, I don't know. There was recently a commercial making a joke about, you know, a family like at home, like, you know, if they all had Google Glass, how dinner would be. Not really. I mean, it was hilarious, but yet at the same time, very disturbing what the experience at home would be if everybody wore Google Glass, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, not, you know.
No, I don't know. I think they have to be clearing inventory out, and like
I think they do. I mean, they've been built. How long have they been? This has been out a year.
Yes, something maybe a little more. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like you can't. They're not. I can't see them actually marketing this as a real product at this point. It's still sort of this test platform. I guess they see that there's still some people who are pissed they didn't get in on the first round. Hey, I've got one person on Facebook who actually has one of these things and posts pictures, quote unquote, from glass all the time. But it's rare, and you know, it's still sort of, it's an oddball thing. People make fun of it. You know, it's not. It's not there. It's not there, certainly at this price point. And you got to think that it's like, you know, anybody who didn't already jump at this when it was first available, why aren't you just waiting for the next round? You know, there'll be something better next time around, and it won't be $1,500.
Yeah, it'll be like $200.
Yeah, I mean, we might not jump straight from $1,500 to $200, but, you know, $200, $300, $400, you know, that now you're getting at the price where if it provides a lot of utility, okay, I can see a lot more people coming up. And if they solve the issues of making it so that, you know, everybody around you doesn't immediately be like, oh, they're a glass hole.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It has to be somewhat discreet so that, you know, it's not immediately obvious to everybody what you're wearing. Of course, people will then get even more paranoid because they're like, what if they're recording me?
Well, exactly.
Well, guess what, folks? It is only a matter of time till someone having a camera on them. Have fun, Daddy. Okay, bye. Alex just yelled, have fun, Daddy, at me.
Okay.
Until... You know, cameras are completely invisible. Like, they can be built into your existing glasses and nobody could tell the damn difference. You can already buy, like, buttons and stuff.
Then I'm sure that we'll sell these camera detectors so that way you'll know where fucking assholes recording you all the fucking time.
Well, it's not necessarily the camera detectors. They're also the camera defeaters that are out
right
there. That people wear something that basically emits, like, an infrared light or something that that shows up on most cameras and basically blots out your face or whatever if you're wearing it.
Well, fuck that. I mean, if people start fucking carrying around that many cameras, I'm fucking buying one of those. Fuck this shit. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm serious. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they also have these things that, you know, that are these life logger cameras. And I think at least one of our listeners has talked about having one of these, but that where you wear this thing around your neck or whatever, that basically takes a picture once every 30 seconds all day long, as long as you're wearing it, and then compiles for you like a summary of your day.
Great. That's really helpful.
I think that's kind of cool.
Well, I know you would, but what the hell do I want that shit for?
Well, you know, like... And you know, at some point, somebody will build them into contacts.
I guess.
You know, so you just have a permanent... Like, wouldn't you... Look, aren't there moments that you would like to be able to rewind and say, okay, now what... I just had this meeting. My memory is not entirely good. Or this guy says he didn't say that. And I know he said that. Just rewind your vision and play it back.
While there are moments in life where I think it would be, you know, nice to, you know, have people on recording so they stop saying that they didn't say shit that they did. Okay, can I be honest? But I don't know if I want to be going through like everything like that all the time. That would be quite creepy.
Well, you could also replay like moments that you really enjoyed. Watch them over and over again. Never miss anything again.
I don't know. I don't know. It seems creepy to me. Anyway, all right, we're done. We're just grasping at straws. All right, guys.
Thanks everybody for listening to another Curmudgeon's Corner. Sorry, you know, look, this week just sucked. I mean,
it
like
sucked.
There was nothing that was really compelling that we felt like talking about. Sorry if your favorite topic got left out that you thought was worthy. But
okay, tweet us about that, and we'll talk about it next week. How about that?
But in any case, for once, we're not doing a 90-minute show, so there is that. So we'll talk to you later, everybody. You know how to get a hold of us. Email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. We're available on Twitter. I'm Abelsmay. Yvonne is I am Bo. We love to hear from you guys. In the meantime, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, and maybe there'll be some exciting things in the news to talk about, and hopefully not things that were the result of many people dying or anything like that. Because, you know, we do talk about those, but, you know, we don't wish for them.
Right.
Yeah. So, exciting things that don't involve death and destruction. There you go.
Death and destruction. Bad.
Have a good week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.